this is Lisa from Geek Pop. Listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, or our website, geekpoppodcast.wordpress.com. Don't forget to like and share us on Facebook.
So I don't think, Brian or Enrique care about this, but I saw this today and I was like,
I care.
Lisa and I will be like, oh, that's fucking kind of cool. So for a long time on Supernatural, the fans have been pretty much been like, bring back Jeffrey Dean Morgan, which he plays their father for, I think he was in season one and a little bit in season two.
Is this one of his characters that dies like before the story starts?
No.
Because Jeffrey Dean Morgan has played a lot of those characters.
No, I mean, the show.
He had a whole season.
The premise is.
But he did die.
The two of them getting together to find their father, and then he eventually dies. It's fine.
Yeah.
He's popped back, like, as a spirit, I think, for a little while. And it doesn't even matter because people have been like, they've brought back all their dead characters in one way or another.
Pretty much.
And it's always felt pretty satisfying. Not
hasn't
just
everybody
like,
been to hell?
Cheap?
Or?
Yeah. Well, the boys have.
Yeah.
Or heaven.
Yeah, they've been there too.
Yeah. And
they've literally been everywhere. It's
parallel universe. Yeah. It sounds crazier than it actually is when you watch the show.
With the lore of the show, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's fine. It's totally
understandably
fine.
Like, you know, it's run such a long time. If you have like major stakes going on, then
there's major stakes.
Died and come back or something. Or
yeah, other. But there's always like, no, this time they're gonna die.
This time
there's
they're
even
dead
there's
forever.
There's even an episode where they best death, and like by best death, like they kill death. Really good. Like I really, I'm not. Lisa and I are. I don't want to say closet Supernatural fans, but we're very.
I was late to the party and
above casual.
I'm usually still pretty late to the party because I wait for it to come out on Netflix.
Yeah, we wait till the season to end and then we watch it.
And look,
it.
In other shows where it might kind of feel like cop-outs, like these are characters who are like friends with angels and shit.
Yeah.
I understand
no,
that
it's,
you can come
angels,
back from the dead.
It's so
devils,
good.
Like, there's
and it when
deals
people,
with heaven and hell.
It doesn't even matter. When someone dies, you're like, you feel the weight of that person dying. Even though someone in the back of your head, you're like, they're probably not dead all the way.
Anybody stay dead?
Sure.
No.
Kind of.
No?
Yeah. Kevin Trent is dead. I mean, they brought him back kind of in the parallel universe. Parallel universes don't count.
I guess.
Anyway, the whole thing about this is that John Winchester, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, is coming back for like the 300th episode, which is kind of funny because was it last year that the Dean or what's his name? What's the character, the actor's name? Jensen Ackles. He tweeted out a picture of him with Lucille, and he was like, Dad, I found this in your trunk. Can I keep it?
I was about to say, he's probably taking a break from... Yeah.
And it was in an episode, actually.
Yeah.
They walked in from a job and he placed Lucille on the table.
Yeah,
like
they go back and forth with that because Jeffrey Dean Morgan will say
something
to them.
Son, I'm
going to
need that back.
Yeah, like, can you bring that back to me or something? Yeah.
It's pretty
fucked up because I'm sure he's like a good guy. And
oh, he's a... Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
He's
like, this is what
he's
I
not
use
the villain.
People to death.
Like, look, if you get a chance...
It's fun.
Yeah.
Binge Supernatural.
Oh, look, I mean, there's a lot of episodes I really love, actually.
There's some
I
good
just
stuff.
Have never really sat down to actually really watch this show.
It's pretty
like,
good.
Like the
it's fine.
Their it's classic Groundhog's Day episode. Every show has one.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like their version is great. Like it was the heat of the moment.
They have a really good one where they go to the real world, and everyone treats them as the actors.
I love that
actors,
one where they like
the
where you find out that they're like the stars of this really popular book series, and like
yeah.
it's almost like all like fanfics written about them.
It
I can't
but
tell you.
It plays into everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It turns out really cool.
Yeah.
It's a really fun show.
It's fun.
It's so fun. Lisa and I thought about going to the, what was it? We tried to get into the...
Oh, yeah, they have a
convention. Supernatural Con.
What's on, like, season, like, what now? Like, 16?
A million?
23?
I don't know. Anyway, by the way... Welcome to Geek Pop. I'm Big Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
Enrique.
Ooh, it's been a minute, son. We are still down one host... That guy, I don't know if he's ever coming back. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, but he got us, and we're back from, I think, a month ago?
Yeah,
the last time we were here?
Yeah, we've had some hosting issues, but different hosts.
Yeah,
which
so...
Which really threw me when you said that, because I was like, oh, he's talking about that, and I was like,
it could be both. Why can't it be both, Lisa?
I know, it was just...
we think it was a Russian site.
Chris does, I don't know.
I think it's a Russian site or something.
Chris gave them his money, and now he's... I don't know.
You know what
sure
it was? It was
nothing.
When we did that story about the Russian trolls, like, you know, swaying the opinions on The Last Jedi.
Uh-huh.
The bots came after us.
They did.
They so this site is they don't they don't answer any of their tech questions. I read up a little bit about them, and it's because they are in another, they're not American. They're in another country. I just say Russian because it's the easiest one to latch my brain onto. Sure. Every now and then, they have a lapse in service, and this was just like...
It's usually around the same time of year, because I know...
Became kind of unacceptable to Lisa and I, especially. Yeah. So I went in. We got us a new hosting site. So if you're looking for our past episodes, I don't think Lisa's got them up
yet.
They're
not up yet. She's working on it. I'm slowly going to be adding them back.
So we're only going to add like the last 18 months. So if you want to go back to origin issues, you're SOL for now.
I guess email us. Maybe we'll put it up. Maybe we won't.
Email us and we'll send you a copy. Like she's. I don't think anyone's.
No,
no one's clamoring for really Teen Pop number 10.
Maybe someone's like, oh, I don't know if we. I don't know if I have that far back.
I think we should have at least to 10 or 16.
I don't know if I personally have that.
Well,
but.
Look, sometimes if I like a podcast like enough, I'll go back and actually like download their whole back catalog and listen through. Although ours is more like kind of current stuff that's going on, so I don't know how much people really feel like.
I don't know. There's some good stuff in the past, but.
Yeah. But if there's an episode that you want, it's not up there. Just email us at geekpoppodcast@gmail.com. One of us will get back to you, and hopefully
Lisa
I will get the episode up.
Lisa will get back to you.
There you go.
I will not.
Lisa will send you the file.
I don't know. I mean, I know I have old episodes, but again, until we got Gabe in the game, like we had no idea why our episodes were coming up poppy. So
yeah, like,
you don't
I
want
think
the
I
older
have
episodes. You want Gabe
poppy,
episodes.
Like, crackling?
I think I have like the because it would so there'd be actual pops throughout the episode
and skips
where we would talk and be like.
I almost forgot, like, the first couple episodes I was on, like, sounded pretty horrible.
Yeah.
They were. What happened was because we were recording onto my laptop, and since it's writing the data as it's recording onto the hard drive, it would create those pops. We found all this from Gabe. Mm-hmm. That's why we have boards and stuff. Well,
that's
we have a board.
Upgraded.
Well, we sound good now.
Yes, much better.
It's been a minute, man. There's a lot of shit that didn't happen. Did you guys happen to see Wreck-It Ralph?
Yes.
Yes.
Fuck. There's
I thought it was. I mean,
I liked it.
I was interested to dive right into it because I knew.
We're not going to talk too much about it because, and you have to cover your ears for this one, Lisa. But the concept at the end of the movie was really high for I think a child's movie.
I think so.
And I'm going to throw this as a spoiler real quick. If you haven't seen it, the end of the movie is basically Vanellope doesn't go back to the arcade. She and Ralph separate.
That's what I think.
But it's a beautiful lesson.
Sure,
it's a good lesson. Yeah. But yeah, I can understand it being very complex for a child.
It is. It really is. Like it's not the happy ending you're thinking of. It's kind of like life, and I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, look, I thought the movie was all right. I have my issues.
Yes,
with
it wasn't.
I thought a lot of it was really clunky and expositiony and kind of forced some of the gags too. But then, and at the same time, I also feel a little bit weird. As much as I was kind of thrilled at it too, at seeing like. I've never seen a movie sell you their licenses like as hard as this movie did.
Well, as much as the first one, and I'll say it like this, as much as the first one was about old school video games, this was very much for the current generation of kids that kind of grew up in like with the internet.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. And that's why I was like, I let a lot of like, you say clunky and obvious jokes. I think I let all that go because like they're trying to be like nostalgic about the internet, but the internet is like still kind of new.
No, I feel you. Well, and at the same time, like I was, if there's anything that I took away as I think the like that surprised me the most about it is that there's a lot of really good messages in there for kids,
dude. You know,
especially like the
insecurity,
like, and like having to like they even talk about internet trolling and stuff.
Yes.
And a movie that you know called Ralph Breaks the Internet and about him going onto the internet should be talking about these things.
He's like,
obviously it feels a little toned
the
down
villain,
a little bit for kids too,
because
especially
no.
like the comment section.
Yeah, he's like getting crushed by these sections, like these comments saying like, "Oh, he's an idiot."
What a
like,
good lesson that is, though, right?
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah.
And I know you said it, but the insecurity thing. I thought that was brilliant. Like, the villain is him because he's insecure about.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really
really
high
like
concept stuff for today's kids. It's not just like good, evil, bad. It's almost like real life.
And they're not sugarcoating like the ending.
No.
Like they've worked out some way to still be. You know,
no.
She's like sometimes friends move apart. And
yes.
If it's a good friendship, you can still keep it going.
That's
sometimes
an
people
amazing,
move away from each other.
Do you know how amazing that is to teach kids? Like that's a crazy thing. Like you don't see that
it's
in
not
movies.
That revolutionary.
Name one movie that's done that. I'll wait.
Mm.
I'm sorry, my mic must be broken. Hold on.
Dead air.
I'm sorry. What, did you say something?
Lots of movies.
Yeah.
I just,
so many, I can't name one of them.
Absolutely.
All right. So we've established that Brian's wrong.
No, look, like, I mean, look,
I realize
the movie aside, like,
for you, it might not be the biggest thing, a revelation in the world, but it, for them to put this up there and build a story around it, I think it's genius, especially for, I want to say, a family movie instead of a children's movie, because I got joy out of it.
Sure.
There's a lot of fun jokes. I've never heard of E-Boy, by the way. Is that something they created for the movie?
They created for the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
B-Boy? But E-Boy? It was E-Boy. E-Boy.
Yeah. E-boy. Oh, they're talking about
E-Boy. Hey, pal! You've got 1 hour to...
Oh, that guy. Yeah. All
right. That was our 60-second Wreck-It Ralph review.
Yeah.
Tap her on the
It's okay.
Head.
We're good.
You're back.
Okay. We're good.
Come back, Letha.
We're not talking
come
about
back to
we're
us.
Not talking about the scene where Vanellope, you find out that she's Darth Vader. Or
dude, don't tell her that she does.
All right.
She's never marked. Okay. All right.
All
right.
I couldn't tell. It looks so weird.
It was Earth all along.
Well, let's move on to other Disney news.
No, I set this up just, I'm not going to take your thing, but I set this up in chronological.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, well, yeah. Well,
oh,
but
yeah.
It was a while ago, but this is the first time we had a chance to talk about it.
Yes.
But Captain Marvel's second trailer came out, and we get a little bit more insight of what's going on in the movie. They get a little bit more of the story. Mm-hmm. You
the
actually
old lady
see that the
is
old
lady really
is not an
fighter.
Old lady.
She's a really good fighter.
Well, you never actually see her transform out of being
old
a Skrull.
Lady. Yeah.
So she could just be beating an old lady.
But at least the people who were like kind of complaining about that part
now they
can,
understand.
Can calm down.
Exactly. The last trailer did nothing to inform you why she's punching this old lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was actually some fire back against that, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are certain people like, why is she punching an old lady?
Because she's a bitch. Deal with it, God.
She just hates old ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what, you don't know what the old lady did.
I don't know. She could have killed her dog. Who knows?
Yeah. She's not a Skrull at all. She's just the villain of the movie.
When I was a kid, you killed my puppy. I don't know.
But you're right. Like this one definitely, it's much more of a, let's give a brief overview of the story. With, oh, obviously not without revealing too much, but at least because, you know, she's another character that most audiences don't really know. So it kind of has to, you know,
feels like they're
explain.
Mementoing and the fuck out of the story, which isn't a bad thing.
Well, they're making it clear that this is set in the 90s, that this is, I mean, obviously, if you can't tell by the youngified Samuel L. Jackson, he hasn't looked like that in 30
that
years.
Look like
20
that?
Years?
20, 20 years. How long
I,
has it been since the 90s?
20 years.
That's fine.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's really thrilling. I love how, like, I mean, the money shot at the end here. Well, I love that title reveal, too, you know.
Yeah.
Her becoming a hero. But, yeah, it's, I think it's pretty swell.
It is pretty good. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I can't wait to see this. Can't wait how she's going to interact with the other characters later on. But, yeah, it looks like it's going to be fun.
Think Jude Law is Mar-Vell?
I don't know. Like this,
they keep
this
dancing
one,
around that.
This one was fine. I don't know. This didn't do anything for me.
Yeah,
really?
I feel the same way. It's better
really?
Than I think the previous one, but I don't know if it's just because I'm like I'm gonna see this anyways that I'm just not. It's not hitting with me.
No, it's just not.
The Wonder Woman
me.
Trailers never really hit for me either, so I'm like, I don't know if it's because she's a female
well,
character.
All that did for me is play that Wonder Woman
may be,
music.
It may be a little bit of fatigue just in general of like another origin story we're seeing. So.
Maybe.
No, I just or think just it's a weak trailer, personally. That's just me, though. I really dig the money shot. That was amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
she's
standing
there looking like
at the end there.
Motherfucking Goku and shit with the hair. Just like
yeah.
That was really. Yeah. Actually, you know what
I
really
mean,
like?
Brie Larson just looks great.
I love
trailer,
the part where her helmet came off.
Yeah,
and it reveals that's why she has a mohawk.
Yeah,
I thought that was really really cool.
Yeah, but like, as soon as the music rises up and she's just taken off and just firing off in space, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the trailer ended well, and at least it's what a.
I mean, it looks fine. I don't know. Like, I'm not excited for this movie.
Right,
I'm
going to
see it.
See
it doesn't matter. I'm going to see it. So
I mean,
yeah,
you're
going to
tune out of the MCU on MCU number 21.
Yeah,
I mean,
why
you're
not?
You're committed at this point, right?
I mean, we'll wait for the next trailer. Literally what we're going to talk about next.
Exactly.
Yeah. MCU
number
22. Number
22, which
number
22. Is The Avengers, which, oh my God, the title here is just amazing.
The
Avengers.
Title, which is going to be a spoiler, which is why they said that they were not going to reveal it until now. What's the title?
Endgame.
That's what we've known for
the right
year.
Like, I just...
It's actually...
it's... I don't know. There was a bunch of hype for the title, and I was not feeling it, and I still don't feel it.
To be fair to the Russo brothers, they didn't lie to us. They did say that a character has said it before, And it's been said twice. Endgame has been said by Iron Man in Age of Ultron, and then Doctor Strange in We're in the Endgame.
Isn't
now,
that the Endgame?
Right as he dies.
So we don't have to. Yeah,
but they're not in the Endgame now. They were in Infinity War.
They weren't. Yeah. Now we're in. Now we're really exactly. in the Endgame. But they also released a trailer for the new Avengers film.
When they bring back Doctor Strange, it's gonna be like we're in the Infinity War now.
That would be
fucking. You got it backwards. Please.
No, I hope they don't. But yeah, so they released the trailer.
And, sure did.
I don't know. I wasn't feeling that one either.
Really? What is wrong with you guys? You have any idea how many times I watched that trailer?
I've watched it personally like, I don't know, 6 or 7 times.
I think I've seen it 3. I don't know. I don't know if the ending of the last movie left such a bad taste in my mouth that it's like tarnished everything kind of Marvel. Even though I did enjoy the movie.
Well, I'm not in that. I'm not in that boat.
But it's just
I don't really
like
know anybody in that boat other than you, so you can.
Well, I like it here. Okay.
I just thought
there's a lot of
you
space.
Can dig your own hole right there.
I think. I don't think the trailer gave me anything.
Yeah,
well, that's kind of a
and
teaser.
This, no, so. It, that's I checked. I was like, well, maybe this is a teaser. Maybe it's they're saying it's the trailer number one.
I think it's but one of the.
That's why I'm like, what the fuck?
I don't expect
to
there to be another.
100% honest, I don't want them to show more. Actually, I was actually thinking, I don't want to see any more trailers just because this trailer was perfect for me in not holding back whatever they're planning on doing.
Dude, I remember it's like in the theater at the end of Infinity War, even thinking like, how are they going to advertise the next movie? And rather like kind of thinking like, I hope they don't show us too much because it's like, it's such a major cliffhanger moment. And look, I mean, those of us who know, you know, from Infinity Gauntlet and stuff like that. Like these, like nobody's expecting this not to be reversed.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, it's right there. Even in like the title reveal in this trailer, you see like ashes reforming the Avengers logo.
Yeah.
Look, like any of the people who died from the snap, they're coming back.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I think as a teaser, this is just like I think it's
trailer.
Just the right amount of teasing without really giving us too much because I don't want it to give us too much, and I'm not expecting like.
The other part of me, too, is I don't, what does it matter? I don't believe anything that the Russos put in these things. So it's like.
That's true, too. That, I mean, like,
yeah.
I
don't know what the point of this is.
I feel like it's the first couple minutes of the movie, a little bit. I don't know if Tony Stark really thinks he's going to die or not. I don't think he's dying yet.
I don't think it's the first couple of minutes of the movie, at least in that point, because, like, they have to explain why he's not with Gamora.
Yeah, that's a little interesting because
Tony
and Gamora were.
I'm sorry, Nebula. My bad, Nebula.
Tony and Nebula were stranded on Titan.
I mean, they're in the ship.
He's gonna die there.
There's a scene. Well, she's probably gonna die with him. What's she gonna do?
Yeah, they didn't show her.
That's actually a fair point. All these people are speculating where did they separate, and I never really considered.
She downstairs.
She could just be just in the ship too. And they're just gonna run out of oxygen.
There's a shot. I think of her.
It
looks
like
her on the ship touching something.
Well, nevertheless, like look, none of us are expecting Tony to die in that moment, at least.
No. Yeah.
But you know, and look, there could there be somebody from space that was just paged that's on their way to Earth that might come rescue him. Who knows? But at the same time.
Also address the fact that how did Ant-Man get out of the whatever
the
that zone
realm,
is the quantum realm
well but at the same
something
time
funny
yeah
probably
yeah.
And
something
look
and then
hilarious
I think Brian was telling me who says that that's Scott Lang
exactly like the, we do have to take into account that
I
this
do.
Is and look I
it's
no
Scott Lang.
By all means I believe it's Scott Lang but we also have to take into account that this is going to be a post Captain Marvel movie and Skrulls will be part of the equation so
yeah.
Now that comic book trope is now part of the MCU.
Sure.
Any of these characters could be anybody. But
it's Scott Lang, though.
It could be Mystique. This is how they work
I'm
in the
sure X-Men. It's Scott Lang. Like,
no,
there's,
I'm sure it's Scott Lang.
The end of I'm sorry if you haven't seen
it. No, I saw it.
Okay, the end of Ant-Man is very clear that Ant-Man survives for a point.
Sure.
I don't know how silly that would be like, he did survive, but he's still in the corner realm.
Right, right. And I'm not, that's why I'm not.
I don't know. I thought that would have
did
been
you see
an
it? I'm sorry.
I saw it, but I'm saying, like, how would they have to show at least how he got out of there.
Again, it's Ant-Man, so it'll be something hilarious that he accidentally does.
Like, he accidentally hits.
Or that little dumb city that they have there.
But it's bound to be key.
What, dumb
to
city?
Absolutely, what
the quantum realm city?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's still
that
key.
Little city that they showed in the movie.
But it's still key, I'm sure, to however they reverse what Thanos did. You know, because that's
original Wasp.
I don't know. It's in the second one, isn't it? Like, I thought they showed a glimpse of the little quantum realm.
Yeah,
castle.
Yeah. No, but like the area where she was at, right? That she was living at.
I think that's what we assume where she was at.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, like, yeah. She built it. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you think she built the city?
Yeah.
Oh.
Didn't she say she did it?
I don't remember that part.
I don't remember
it being a city, but
she built it. The area, basically, of like where it looks like she's been living in.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I'm glad you guys all like it. I don't hate it.
Yeah, I
just didn't move me.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
I mean,
fair enough. Yeah.
On the contrary, I thought like
Brian.
It honestly did like.
I don't mean that in a bad way.
I know.
Listen, you stupid bitch. He loved it, okay?
The point I was trying to make earlier is that even though we know that Tony is going to be fine, or at least maybe, look, I think it's very possible he may not survive the movie. But
till the end of the
moment,
movie,
yeah. But like, I don't know. It was something really powerful, and especially seeing that character, this guy who has been around since the very first of these 20-odd movies, and you know, and him just like that. I don't know, that the way Robert Downey delivers that line where he says, like, you know, oxygen's going to run out tomorrow morning and that'll be it. You know, like he's accepting and his death like there in that moment. Like, I don't know. I thought it was a really touching little moment, especially even though Pepper's not there, like him kind of saying his last thing to Pepper, just saying like, I'm going to die tomorrow morning and I'm going to dream of you. You know, like, I don't know. It was that really got to me. So, and that's right at the beginning of the trailer. So,
yeah.
And then it got him.
Yeah. And then you see like his mask, and it's the last little bits of like the nanobots. Can you see like it's not even forming all the front of the face?
I didn't know that they could detach, but
well, that's what he's been sporting.
You kind of saw it detach in the movie because like you saw what's his name
Thanos
breaks off the blade part and then stabs it back into him.
Sure, I guess that's.
I mean, the nanobots form the suit, so there can be pieces of nanobots. And
sure,
what I take as like why his mask looks all kind of janky and half formed, and you can see weird little, almost organic-looking gaps in it because it's just he doesn't have enough bots left.
He cannibalize it for
ship
anything.
Parts.
Yeah. Sure. Well, plus also we know that like you know when Thanos was beating him, like he was losing his armor, like he can't even form it all yet. So, but he's probably using whatever's left to just you know. Make the Benatar still fly and but and I guess
was that the Benatar?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the colors of it.
That's what I mean it's what Nebula flies there. It's her only ride. And you see the silhouette of it, it's the Benatar. It's a Benatar.
Okay. I thought it was the other ship that they took.
Yeah.
Because didn't they separate the ships? Oh, but Rocket them with the other one.
That's true. Rocket's curiously not in this,
other
maybe
ship
they haven't finished the effects.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's just the little first trailer.
That was great seeing the little nods to Infinity Gauntlet. Like, I forget exactly. I always mix up the comics. Which one was second? at least you see the homages to like Thanos when he's farmer, like
so
farmer Thanos, and you see
the very the end of the original Infinity Gauntlet comic book is them beating Thanos and Thanos retiring, I think in the Soul Gem on a farm.
Yeah. Except this, they've kind of repurposed it. He's doing it after having
succeeded. Which I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And you see, like, the recreation of, like, because he uses his armor as a scarecrow,
mm-hmm.
you know, famously in the comic, and you see that in the trailer. So,
just, and you see, Hawkeye as Ronin.
Yes, as Ronin. Yeah. Which is awesome. Like,
he's got a new name now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hawkeye became Ronin in the comics for a brief while. Actually, multiple people have been Ronin. Like, I think he was like the second or third person to be him. To take that mantle, at least. I don't think it's really been strictly one kind of.
I don't know that part. I know he was famously Ronin for a while.
Yeah, but it seems pretty clear that.
Which was like a character that people were like, this is not good. And they kind of changed him back, I think, eventually after a while.
Well, that's probably just his. I don't even imagine he's going to say, I'm Ronin now or something. It's just their little homage to that from the comics.
I bet you he does.
Like, I'm Ronin now.
I bet you he's like.
It's like Hawkeye? No.
I'm no longer Hawkeye. That Hawkeye's dead.
That's
or something.
Not my name.
Something silly like that.
But you figure it's probably likely that he lost his family in the snap and he's gone. Crazy killing people, you know,
yeah, maybe. I don't know,
chopping them up.
I kind of dig the part. I guess I like the memes mostly, but everyone keeps memeing Thor from his has the beanie on. they have some really clever ones,
yeah,
but which I'm not gonna recite. But
like for such a heavy trailer, like it was nice to like at least add a little bit of levity at the end with
Scott
Lang, too. It's like, hey, you know. I'm that guy you met in Germany a couple years ago, Ant-Man. I know you know that.
Yeah.
So just a little reminder that look, this movie is not going to all just be super depressing and everybody lamenting that half the world's dead.
No, they can't because they have to fix it.
Yeah, okay. It could be interesting. I think like they didn't really make it clear in this trailer like but I hope it's been some time. Like we're catching up like half like a year later, and we see kind of how shit's gone down in the whole world too. Like, you know, the consequences of the decimation, as I guess they're calling it. So,
well, obviously, some time's passed. The fuckheads running around like a wannabe ninja with the buzz cut.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, just happened the day before, and he's like, "That's it, fuck this," and breaks out his black and yellow suit.
Well, even just the way that, like, Scott mentions, like, you know, a few years ago in the airport in Germany, and I feel like Civil War wasn't that long before in universe time before. I think maybe it was a couple years.
Literally, yeah. I think is what they say in the movie, right?
Don't remember.
I don't know. Either way, I think it'd be interesting if it's been some time and, like, you know. Obviously, Cap found time to shave. It's a little sad. I think.
Well,
I
mean,
awesome
he lost like half the hairs on his face.
Right.
With
when Thanos snapped.
Yeah,
like
when he snapped, he lost half the hair, so he just decided to take the other half off because it was kind
of
sparse.
Hairs on the bottom of his head, not the top, I guess.
He's probably the top hero again. Although, yeah, I don't know.
But let's face it, Steve dies probably at the end of this movie, so. You know.
Probably.
Or not.
Or maybe he gets. You know, I heard a theory that
they
maybe
put him
he
on
gets
a farm.
Because there's, you know, there's a theory about, you know, time travel and everything being a part of this, that maybe Steve gets left with Peggy and they get to finish out their last dance, and that would leave the door open to maybe bring him back. It's like, that could be a nice.
And then he crashes the ship.
Yeah, but still, somebody's gonna die.
I'm sure.
I think everybody who survived Infinity War is on the chopping block. I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I mean, I don't think
the contracts are up at the time too. So
that's true. Oh, speaking of which, did you notice the trailer confirms seems to confirm that Shuri died, which sucks because she was
missing.
Shuri and Wong were one of the ones were the two of the characters that were like, I guess Pepper too. I guess it's a whole bunch of characters anyway.
It just says missing though. And Scott's on there too.
It
but
does.
Who
yeah.
knows? Like it could be a false scene. You never know.
But I think a lot of people were speculating when we didn't see confirmation of Shuri's death that she would become the new Black Panther. She is the next in line. So it could be interesting if we saw a world where Shuri's been Black Panther for a while, but judging by that shot of Shuri missing, she's probably dead, which is like, oh.
I didn't take it as that at all.
Or no one knows she's a Black Panther.
It would just seem really weird if she just sort of like ditched everybody right after the snap. Like she was up in the tower and she's like, I don't know. But it seems to confirm
again,
that she probably
it
died.
Could just be totally the Russos being like.
It could be. Oh, no, absolutely. There could be like Hulk moments
Hulk
in this.
Yes,
let's put the Hulk in here.
That's I don't know why I didn't think about that. That's probably that could
like
very
I don't
well
trust
be a lie.
Anything about this thing?
Also, it just says missing.
For all I know, Thor doesn't have any eyes.
You see Scott Lang on there, and he, you know he's fine.
Clearly, he's fine.
But they obviously had reason to think that he was gone because he went subatomic.
They think he was gone.
Right. Somehow
he
came back.
And I think they had a setup that he was gone for people that didn't know. If you didn't see the movie or.
Sure.
That's a good point because Lisa didn't see the movie before it came out.
Yeah, I did.
You didn't see Ant-Man before it came out.
Before the trailer came out? Yes, I did.
No, before the last movie came out.
Ant-Man the Wasp?
The first one or the
Ant-Man the Wasp
one?
Was the last movie.
Came out after?
After Infinity
War. After Infinity War?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I thought it came out
sorry,
before.
Before. Yes. Before. Wait.
Did it? Or
no,
did
it
just take
out
place
after.
It took place before
it
the
took
movie.
Place
no.
Before
it
and then.
It took place
during.
The
post credit was
yes.
during.
And it
during.
Came out after.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
God, there's so many of these damn movies.
Yeah. There's plenty more. That's all.
Yeah, but I still think they had to set it up for people that hadn't seen it or you're, like, not watching any of them. And it sets up that end scene of him showing up, I think, a little stronger.
Yeah, because they're not going to.
Because you're like,
you know,
oh, he's missing. Because that's clearly what they want you to see in that one.
Well, and they make a big point about how, like, the Russos specifically made Infinity War to be like, okay, at this point, we're not going to try to catch everybody up and shove in some clunky exposition. We're just going to tell the story. You know, assume everybody's caught up. And if you're not, c'est la vie. But, like, where they can fit in some room, because not everybody will have. There's going to be a lot more people who will see Avengers 4 than Ant-Man the Wasp.
Yes.
So a little bit of exposition just to explain, you know, especially if Scott Lang plays as crucial a role to, you know, undoing all this.
He wasn't
he
in the last
will.
Film either.
What's the next
Avengers
Marvel
film?
Movie?
Captain Marvel.
Captain
Marvel. When's that come out?
March.
No.
February.
Wait. April's
no.
Avengers.
April is Avengers. So Captain Marvel is a. I believe
February
or so. Enrique is looking up right now.
It's got to be
so
February or March.
Kind of weird that she wasn't in the trailer either.
Well, because she hasn't been established in that universe.
I also don't expect her to be in the
trailer. I don't expect her to be in any trailers.
Well, yeah, no, likewise. She's in I also don't expect her to be in the movie.
I mean,
no, she's in the movie, but
But I don't think she'll be in the trailers.
March 8th. Why? Come out.
Okay, so that'll only be a March, so after March and April. It'll be
yeah, because I think because that's what I think they'll do.
All right. No logic, just that's what
I
feel like.
I don't have a strong thing to it. Okay. I just, I figure it's just too close and not as established. Maybe like at the end of March they'll do it, but I don't think.
Maybe for the last trailer for Avengers, they'll pop her in there. So you're like, hey, you just saw her in this other movie, right?
Yeah.
Come see the new
one.
All right.
I think there's another character that isn't in this trailer that's a bigger deal is Spider-Man.
Why?
Because they're just about to drop. In fact, by the time you're listening to this, it may well be released. The trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home. They already revealed the trailer at Comic-Con Brazil a few days ago. Oh. And people went nuts. And people everywhere else are going nuts because they haven't released it to everybody else. So it's curious. Like,
I'm not going nuts, Brian. I'm okay.
Well, look. But I mean, look. Nobody's expecting Spider-Man to stay dead. But I'm curious that given that they were that we know that the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer
follow everyone that died is I'm expecting them not to be dead.
Well, I'm curious if the Far From Home trailer like and look by the time you're listening to this it might already be out, but I'm curious if they might try to do some like beating around the bush, like not actually have Spider-Man in the trailer for the next Spider-Man movie and people going like,
that'd be fucking weird.
That would be weird. I don't know how you could work that, but you know,
I think we're thinking too hard about this, but.
Look, I mean, Spider-Man's coming back. I'm sorry for the, you know.
No, he's got movies and
spoilers, but.
Movies and movies to come. Like, Spider-Man is a hit.
Yeah, they just announced Scott Derrickson. Or I don't know if it's official, but Scott Derrickson is in the works to do Doctor Strange 2.
I don't think it's official. But
so
he.
How are they going to do Doctor Strange?
Again, no one thinks these characters are dead, right? Like,
I know.
No one thinks this.
But it'll still be a little weird. I'm very curious about that Spider-Man trailer.
I mean, they announced a Black Panther 2, which I realize is not for a while, but. Like, no one thinks these characters are dead. This isn't like a.
Well, it'll still be a. For those people who don't, like, deep dive into looking all those stuff. Or at least for them, it's still magical.
Yeah, and
I don't
really
know.
I
don't know too many people.
There's no way they could have Spider-Man outright be in the Endgame trailer without making it clearly obvious that it's all going to be. I mean, look, as much as it's like already obvious that it's going to get reversed.
All right. Well, the Avengers trailer.
They're revenging.
Did you want some revenge? I'm undecided. This Thor was a really good part. When Thor's thinking of the new, like, she's like, what's your name? The Revengers. We're going to call the Revengers.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like some revenge? And Bruce Banner's all, I'm undecided. I don't know if we're on the revenge. Really good part. Anyway.
Well, now they have something to, you know, have revenge over.
Let's move on.
They really have to anything before.
Okay, so this came out a couple weeks ago, but Console Wars, which is a pretty fun book. If you've never read it, it is the story, I'm going to say, boy, it's the rise of power of Sega in the 90s. It basically stars Tom Kalinske. I say basically because they really jump back and forth between the major Nintendo players at the time and the major Sega players at the time. But it feels more Sega-orientated. Great book. Even if you don't like video games, it is an interesting read what this guy did with Sega and how far the Japanese parent company, I guess you could say, let him go. Because as far as Americans go, like they wouldn't let us run the ship, and they were like, "Yeah, go ahead, Tom, do whatever you fucking basically want." And he brought Sega into the world. They made Sega a fucking contender.
Yeah, I haven't read this either, but I was like reading about how, you know, I guess it really was like a total underdog story. Like this guy,
Sega
was nothing and up against
Nintendo had 90% of the market. I think it was, and they battled it down to like 50-50.
I mean, they literally started in the 19th century. Nintendo's been around.
Yeah, no, they go into that in the book. They're like they tell about their card shop and their, you know, and how the lineage of this company is still at the time, I think, was still with the one family.
Yeah.
Great book, kind of flowery, I believe.
Still in the family?
Well, I don't know about it anymore, but I know like it was for a long time. It was like a family-owned Nintendo business. Like there were always, there was always a president was in charge, something like that.
Yeah.
Great book, really fun read. The foreword in the book was done by Seth Rogen and Joe. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. Yeah. I won't say Joe Rogan.
But they're, yeah, that's they're not the, right. The writing duo.
This movie has been on the fucking in production for years now, and I've been like, this is going to be cool when they get it together. I can't understand who they're going to. They're going to get the casting, but it is not going to be a movie anymore, which I think this is even better, is that they're going to make it probably an AMC series.
Cool.
Which, if you ever watched...
A little bit better.
Yeah. If you've ever watched, like...
I was going to say, is it kind of like...
It makes me think of Halt and Catch Fire, but Halt and Catch Fire was so much more dark. There was some really weird stuff in there. This is a much more like... go-getter kind of like happy things. Oh, this it almost lends to a fucking series. The book kind of reads like a little novella. I don't know how to describe it. If you haven't read it, go pick it up. You probably pick it up for like $5.
The book reads as a novella, you're saying?
Kind of, yeah. It's okay. Like this back and forth little story of it's like a scrappy young go-getters, and it almost paints Nintendo as evil, but not.
But you still think it can carry, like, there's enough material there to really carry a series as opposed to a film.
A series, yes.
Yeah.
I think it worked better as a series.
Cool.
I'm not saying a multi...
How many seasons?
You could probably do one or two. You could probably squeeze one or two out of there. Like, I could see, like, there's definitely a part in the middle of the book where you could be like, this is where it stopped, and then the second season being, like, not the fall, but, like, kind of the fall.
Well, there's probably enough interesting context.
There's so much interesting stuff
behind all the console wars through all the different generations, too.
I mean, I can totally... Going. I can totally see entire episodes dealing with, like, how they did in the books. Like, there's one where they... they deal with like Nintendo's first game master, which was named Howard Phillips, who worked on the assembly line over here to making games, and that he liked playing the game so much they actually started asking him back in Japan like what he thought of the games because he was so in depth with them. He was in the comic books. I don't know if you know. Okay, but they do entire chapters almost of like these one personas or these one I don't want to say characters because these are real people, but
sure.
They build on like the real people's stories, and they're very interesting. They're almost all really, really interesting.
If anything, like it's almost kind of reminded me of you ever see Pirates of Silicon Valley?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, even though that was a movie, like that, I think there could like the story of
fuck,
everything involving Bill Gates and
you have
and,
no much. I have no idea how much I love that movie, and I cannot find
it's
it
so
on
good.
Blu-ray. Like
it's so
I can't
good.
Find
and
it on like, anything to stream.
Yeah. I mean, like, and even with all these, you know, they did. What there
wasn't
was Jobs and there
Silicon
was Steve Jobs.
Valley show too. That's kind of like that.
But that's a comedy and fictional characters. Whereas like
yeah, but it's supposed to be kind of like Apple versus Microsoft at the same time, but not that. But in the
you talking
fictional
about
world?
You talking about the upstart
Silicon Valley.
Yeah, no, it's nothing like the comedy, right? With the
Camille and Jenny. Okay. And
so this is literally the story of Jobs and Gates and how they rose to power.
Yeah, no, I know that. I thought that was like the comedic version of that.
No, I mean
it was a very serious, but it was also like it didn't get a huge amount of attention because it was a TV movie.
Yeah.
But it was it was really good. It was what was it? Noah Wiley played Steve Jobs and Anthony Michael Hall as Bill Gates
and what's his name is like Steve fucking Bender. I can't even,
John DiMaggio.
Yeah, he was. I believe he played Steve Ballmer.
Oh, did he? That's awesome. I got to revisit that because I don't think I've seen it.
I forget the actor's name, but there's. I mean, it was really, really good.
Yeah.
How do we get there, Brian?
Well, because it's just reminding me, like,
Console
Wars. What you're telling me about the Sega Nintendo rivalry is kind of.
Go read this
me of that,
book. Yeah. It's a really good book. I think I bought it on sale, like an Amazon sale or a Kindle sale for like $3.
Yeah.
Best $3 I spent in my life.
Yeah. Either way, I mean, I only bring up Pirates of Silicon Valley because it sounds like there's a lot of drama that can be mined from
it is
from
a good parallel. It's
companies,
a, it's a good parallel that drama that you could definitely put in there. Console Wars is going to be a TV show. What else we got? Oh, okay. So I threw this in last minute, and only because it's just one of these little beautiful things. Everyone knows Sesame Street. It's still around.
Sure.
And this is one of the reasons I'm going to let people know that it's still around is because it does stuff like this that are relevant. The show isn't around just because I loved it or you loved it. It's around still because it still does stuff that is and I can't think of a better word than relevant to this day and age. A couple of years ago, you guys remember they introduced an autistic character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And recently, they introduced a character that... is dealing with food hunger because her family's poor. The same character is now homeless in the show, so they're teaching kids this that you know maybe not all your friends have a home or you know people don't always have homes,
mm-hmm.
and it's just this
but
really
still people too and they're
kind of
you.
Yeah it's just this mm-hmm. this beautiful thing that like they're still teaching people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's the whole purpose of the show, and that's why.
But that's what keeps it around.
A lot of people fight for these for Sesame Street and a lot of this public television stuff because it's there to teach them. I kind of look back fondly on this stuff because when my family lived in the middle of nowhere in Michigan, like that's all I had. You know, I didn't get Saturday morning cartoons. We had some PBS stuff, and that's all we got. And so it's kind of fun just to see all that still out there and teaching kids. Because
one of the things I learned about death
where
from.
Where they can learn it.
Yeah. Well, it's just one of the great, part of the reason why Sesame Street has been such a great staple of, you know, PBS and just, you know, and kids programming for so many decades is because it's just so damn good. It's so, you know, it's had such a consistent record of really teaching good values to kids, really great characters.
Yeah.
And even, and not just to kids, like I'll even still.
It even teaches it to adults.
Yeah.
Too,
like I'll pop in there and watch an episode of Sesame Street. Cause, well, for one thing, they know how to draw older adults too, because they'll bring in, you know, for sometimes they'll bring in celebrities and stuff like that, but it doesn't detract from it. Like there's still always good quality storytelling. There's still a lot of positive messages that anybody can jump right into, and I'm glad to hear that they're doing
I
that
thought
too.
This is a really beautiful piece of you know, news today, media, and I wanted to share this to everyone.
That's good. No, I didn't know about that. That's
very touching. Sesame Street is just one of those people, and keep this in your mind that if you ever see, like, when PBS is like, hey, we need money, you know, fucking donate a couple bucks. You know, and I realize that they're. Does this have a deal with HBO? I don't remember.
Sesame Street does.
Yeah.
Sesame Street.
But they're still on PBS.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yeah. HBO helps fund them, but they show them on PBS.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing.
I think they show them on HBO too, but that's.
So if you have kids, or even if you don't, you know, just always check out Sesame Street. There's a reason why it's still important to. Not only us, to kids and us nowadays. So
yeah, and PBS has a long history of fighting to be funded or fighting to exist. Sometimes
it's fighting to exist.
Yeah, so it's anything that we can do to help it. Obviously, it's helping us all out. I think we all grew up with it. You know,
I think so.
Yeah.
I
grew up with Sesame Street.
Because if you
Mr.
fucking
Rogers.
Didn't, we'd have to ask you to leave.
No,
I even grew up with the Spanish Sesame Street, yo.
Where Spanish Sesame Street?
Yeah, like Big Bird was like more green and stuff like that. You ever seen that?
No.
Plaza Sesamo? No, never.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, no, I'm not joking.
All right, we'll look
I'll show you later.
Okay, so we'll look into it later. Let's move on, though. Come up and Brian. I like to think people need to come up.
You okay, Brian?
No, it's a.
There's some comeuppance for you.
I forgot what the next story
was. I don't
know
why I said Brian, but it has nothing to do with any of us. So, Disney.
Knocking my way to make money on the side?
I don't think any of us do this beyond, like, maybe of a passing thought, but, you know, maybe I do sometimes when I'm like, every once in a while, I'm like, well, I'll pick up an extra one of these in case later on down the line I want to. Get rid of it. What I'm talking about, of course, is flipping stuff. I'm not much of a flipper in case, like, I want to sell my own collection later on, I guess, really what it comes down to. But people make a living out of this.
Yeah.
They're, in my mind, half the time, I think they're rat bastards. Because if I go to a store and I want to purchase an item, I'd like it to be there. Not to hear that, oh, yeah, the dude this morning bought 30.
Sure.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, exactly. We even deal with it when we go to Comic-Con.
We do. And in some ways, that's the only way we're going to get it.
Yeah.
But
well, and look, I mean, the economy runs on people buying things and selling them for more. But at the same time, this is kind of a bit of a different category when you're buying, you know,
there's
stuff
look, well, man, there's right and there's wrong. Yeah. You go to Comic-Con and you're lucky enough to get a Funko lottery ticket and like you have a business. Sure. By all means, buy as many as you can.
Sure.
Flip them for someone like maybe Benrique that wasn't able to get a lottery ticket and can't buy them otherwise.
Right.
I just, you're to my left. Just anyway.
But at the same time, that takes away from, like you got into the Funko line and you could barely buy anything because.
Yeah, I was.
And you were there, you know, so there's
did,
a balance.
There's a balance. There's a right and a wrong. But people, and, you know, this is probably, there's one. But Disney has just put the ban hammer down on pass holders.
Wow.
Yeah. Pass holders. And anyone who knows anything, Disney passes are not cheap. They're very
not just
expensive.
Pass holders, but specific pass holders.
Okay.
We're flipping, yeah.
People were going to the park and flipping Disney merchandise. I didn't think the article said specifically, but this includes like popcorn buckets or, you know, Funko items, pins, ears. flashlights. I don't know if it's flashlights. It was some kind of toy.
Well, they were mentioning that the Mickey ears, or not the, the those.
Sure,
those,
the rose gold Mickey gold ears, ears were very popular. The what'd you say?
Straws.
I don't know about was
I
there straws?
There was a light up Mickey straw.
I think you heard from the, there probably was.
Well, anything in the park that you can get a discount.
Exclusive.
On.
Yeah. People are flipping them for a pretty penny. Yeah. And I know from reading other stuff, people were going in and buying like Funko has like their. Flocked Harold, I forget, I think that's his name, from the Matterhorn, and they have he is a pop that was limited in the park, and people are going in and buying literally like the limit of, you know, 30 or 10 or whatever, and then getting back in line and getting them, basically they're flipping them.
Wow.
Yeah, stuff like that.
That's dirty.
I hope the limit isn't as big as 30.
I think it was something that obnoxious that
I'd
even.
Hope it's be like
I feel
two.
Like in park it would be that obnoxious just because
you're in the park.
Yeah.
So stuff like that is tough to come by, and then you go to the park and you're like, "What? You're sold out." It sucks. Disney,
well, that's a matter of also balancing that kind of a policy too. I think this article was also mentioning that Disney doesn't
limit
have a limit for individuals; it has a limit per transaction. So you could so if you can only buy five, just keep buying five.
Yeah, that's what they'll, and then they'll allow you to do that because they don't have anything in place for that. So what they did though is they cross-referenced people that had passes and for their eBay pages or something like that, and people that were reselling their stuff, they pulled their passes.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Pretty harsh.
Well, but at the same time, I feel like they're entirely in the right to. For
I
one
do
thing,
too.
It is specifically against.
Their
like
policy.
The pass holder policy.
They went through the policy list, which is very extensive, and they found a way for like, hey, this is, we don't accept this, you're gone.
It is a part of the terms of agreement.
It is.
As much as people don't read them, that is something that you agree to as a pass holder, is that you can't use your discount to buy and resell
stuff. I can't remember the last time I'm like, I didn't hit just accept, right? Does anyone read the terms of services?
No. Not much.
I mean, I'm no lawyer, so.
You, what?
No, I mean, just, yeah.
So oh, I thought you said I was a lawyer, so. Like, oh, no.
Because they did that gag in Better Call Saul where like because Saul won't he sits there and reads it.
Yeah.
He does. Huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. So Disney just basically banned a bunch of flippers. I think rightfully so. If you're gonna make that like, and it sounds like people are making
a pass holder rule.
Yeah, for one, the only thing I have against it. Is that what if people are doing this so then they can afford to go? And like, that sucks, but you really shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's irresponsible.
It's like itsy-bitsy little thing.
Look, good on you for that hustle if that's truly what it was, but I'm like 90% sure like that's not what motherfuckers are doing.
I feel like if that's what you're doing to like be able to afford it, they're not being that obnoxious with it.
And it's absolutely a fair point that like, look, Disney is gouging prices with these, you know. But at the same time, you could make the argument that they kind of have to because of how fucking crowded the park gets.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know.
And this is Disneyland.
I
don't think it was the Disney World. It's just Disneyland.
Well, yeah. And they're not giving you that discount to make the money back. And I can understand, like
these
are cases
of
people.
Not to make the money back, but to be able to afford it.
Yeah. These are cases of people, like getting so much of the product that people at the park aren't finding them anymore. So if they're selling out at the park, then, we need to cut down on this.
Yeah.
Look, you know, you guys know I used to be. I'm still a big Disney fan, but I don't go to the parks anywhere near as much as I used to.
Oh God, yeah.
So when I go to the park and like I know there's like some special ears or special product for a limited time, I would like to be able to go to the park and purchase that fucking thing.
Sure.
Not be like, oh, we sold out this morning. We gave tickets at 8 a.m. to line up around Catella to get I don't know, fucking Mickey shaped Disney balloon ears. Popcorn holders that are also a drink and ring pin.
Yeah. Regular shirt. Disneyland merchandise shouldn't be, even the seasonal stuff, shouldn't be as difficult to get as like Funko exclusives.
Of it. I don't think any of it should. I know there was like a couple years ago when they debuted the rose gold ears. Those were insane to try and find. People were buying them left to right and they were flipping them for like $100.
People like the ears.
And it was just like, it wasn't like a limited edition. They just sold out. There was
they became limited edition.
No, they never became limited edition. They were just
you couldn't buy it at the park.
But look at all these $500 ones on eBay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Disney did the right thing in my opinion.
No, I do believe they did the right thing. It was
I know. Lisa's trying to create a backdoor for these people. Like, maybe.
No, I mean, by all means, I understand.
Maybe their dog is
Disney
sick.
Disney
I can
does not
see why people would do it.
Yeah.
to be able to afford it, but at the same time, it, yeah.
Look, and Disney's not really like needing to, like, there's no problem with Disney losing money or anything, but mm-hmm. at the same time, this is also cutting into other consumers getting their hands on stuff that, you know, at the park and stuff like that. It, like, if all these people are coming in cleaning stuff out, because people do that with, like, you know, toys too, like, you know, yeah. like some exclusive, they'll go to Target super early, grab them all, take the entire sleeve, and, you know.
Oh, dude, but Lisa and I went out a long history of it. A couple months ago, we went to go get the, what was it, the summer convention pops, I think, at Target. Yeah. Just on our lunch break, casually. Fall. The fall convention. Yeah. Casually went over there and we're like, hey, do you have any of these? I'm like, yeah, we got some right here. I'm like, you know, they had a smaller selection, but like, well, yeah. do you have X, Y, or Z? And like, oh, no, people were here when we opened to get those. I'm like, right. fuck. Really? Dude,
there's a reason why when a console comes out for the first time, they're like one per person.
Is that the thing?
I don't know.
I don't ever buy first generation console. I think that's a fool's bet.
I usually can't afford it.
Yeah.
Well, the times I've been able to do it, I've never done it. The only time
I've never been in one of those lines, but I keep hearing about like you know the person who found out after they stayed in line the whole day that Best Buy will only allow you one Xbox One or something. Yeah.
Sell for double. I don't know.
You can, the first week probably.
Yeah, the Switch was the first time I've done that, and I can't remember how long.
And that was sold out when the first days came out.
Yeah,
worth it though.
Yeah,
fucking mm-hmm. worth it.
And you bet your ass anywhere where you could buy 10 of them, people were doing it.
Probably.
Yeah. I even have it right now with me.
All right, let's move.
Let's
move on. Well, they released a very, very interesting trailer.
Are more people talking about this?
I heard a lot of people talking about it.
You know, I didn't know about it until you told us about it, and I was like, okay, I'll check this out. I was like, what? They're parodying Superman? Okay, this is weird.
It was all over my Google feed.
Yeah.
So people are talking about
it. Well, people are talking about it, I think, because of this trailer. I didn't know about it until this trailer.
I was
a little surprised to hear that I hadn't heard about this James Gunn project, for one thing.
Yeah.
Because it's produced by James Gunn and
by the
also
way, we're talking
by
about
two of the Guns.
Brightburn.
Brightburn.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Which is a really compelling little horror trailer that just came out that is very clearly kind of
I love this idea. We're like, yeah, it's basically Superman if he wasn't a good guy when he was a kid.
Yeah. It's basically, I mean, every other kid that, how every other kid would act if they had these kind of powers.
I mean, who's to say?
Because let's be real, like, no kid is going to end up like Superman.
Yeah.
Like, that was abnormal to me, like, how good that kid was.
The Kents were very, very lucky in that the kid they found happened to come from this Kryptonian race of benevolent, mm-hmm. or most of them benevolent, normal-looking people who aren't coming to Earth to kill us all. They just wanted to save their kid, and they sent him over. You know,
well, how do we know that this child wasn't sent over nicely and just became evil because of his powers?
Well, that's what I'm gathering from this trailer is that
being able to control them.
So
and stuff.
Yeah, we're all on the same page. This Brightburn trailer is literally what a Superman went the other way. But they come in the trailer and it literally looks like you're watching Man of Steel. They steal shots of like what looks like Kansas. They even, I swear to God, they even took a little bit of Hans Zimmer in that score and what they played. Mm-hmm. And it makes you feel.
Even the lettering of the title sequences and stuff like that.
They make you feel like you're watching a What If Superman Wasn't Good trailer. And it's only this kid. He doesn't get to look much older than Superboy age in the trailer, but he clearly, like, something flips his lid and he goes around misusing his powers. There's one part I'm looking at right now. He's using his fucking heat vision to cut open a freezer door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which you know he already did something to that lady.
Yeah.
She's holding on to her eye.
Covering her eye. Yeah.
it's scary. And the fact that James Gunn is involved with this is just like, that's kind of...
No, he's just producing this?
Yes.
Or did he direct?
I don't think he directed
it.
Produced and his brother and cousin wrote it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not quite the... What was...
It looks
I forget. I'm trying to remember his brother's name who played Rocket.
James?
Not that brother.
Sean.
Yeah, because there's a lot of Guns.
Sean
I was looking... I noticed there's two Guns and I looked him up. Like, there's because he's got a lot of brothers and a lot of cousins.
Yeah, it's written by Mark Gunn and Brian Gunn.
Yeah, Brian Gunn is his brother.
Oh, it's not even Sean.
Mark Gunn is...
Yeah.
No, it's not Sean. That's why. There's a lot of Guns.
I heard what you said, but I didn't really like... Like, there's the proof.
Well, because we all know, like, there's James Gunn and his brother Sean, but there's probably his other brother who's a writer and a cousin. So this
How many guns are
lots
there?
Lots of guns making this movie. But
we need gun control.
I'm a little shocked, too, that because this obviously was in production before he got fired.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that he, I mean, that he was going to have his name on this no matter what, right?
It is nice, though, for his sake that, like, both in this case and soon DC with Suicide Squad 2, they're all proudly brandishing his name.
Yeah.
This trailer has a big title card from producer James Gunn, the visionary director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
This is the kind of stuff that I like from Gunn anyway. Like, I don't know if you guys, did you like his last movie? I liked it.
I don't Guardians think of Galaxy I 2? Saw the one you're referring to.
No,
oh, I thought he did another one.
The office one. Where yeah, they I thought have to kill each other.
I did see it. So what happens is they trap a bunch of motherfuckers in an office building.
Yeah,
and it's a something project or something.
Bilko.
Oh, the Bilko. Bilko project.
Okay,
Bilko
experiment. I heard about that. Yeah. Okay.
Bilko. Yeah. So they had all. I thought it was pretty fun.
Okay.
They literally lock everyone in, tell them you have to kill 30 people, and
Bilko,
or we'll kill everybody.
Or we'll kill everyone.
Well, I was just thinking, like, well, for one thing, just by having Elizabeth Banks in there, like, you know, who is also huge and one of the major characters in Slither, like, this feels very. This evoked a lot of Slither's feeling.
Well,
to me.
You know, he has the people he likes to work with,
and
man.
I fucking love Slither. It's
Slither was good
so
too.
Good.
Yeah.
He's free. He can now do whatever he wants with Nathan Fillion and Elizabeth Banks and
all his buddies
and his brothers.
Look, if Disney's not going to take him back, then that's on them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad he's getting work. I'm glad. I'm not just getting work, but I was so glad to see that the trailer even
that
like bragging about
him. Yeah.
You know.
I think this is a really I'm surprised we haven't seen this sooner. People are going like, though, sued them yet?
That's a fair point. Like, of all the... Because DC has done so many Elseworlds doing alternate takes on Superman.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised they haven't done the horror take yet.
Well, comics have done it, too.
That's what I mean. The comics have done...
That's the thing. Even though they took shots and stuff like that, you can't really sue them for having the same similar shot. So as long as they don't say anything like Kent or...
I don't know.
DC doesn't own.
Not even. Yeah, you don't even know if it's Kansas. It's just a Kansas-like place.
DC doesn't own human-like aliens from space. There's been so many stories. Yeah. That, you know.
I don't know how far
Superman is the red cape, but it's not even a cape. It's a hood.
I don't know how far like that.
I don't know how.
Get,
yeah.
But I'm sure there's an argument somewhere. Anyway, we got to keep moving. What else do we have, Brian?
Yeah. So we got a new trailer for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3
for the
Moi 3 for the Switch
only. Yeah.
Switch only. Yeah.
Switch
which
only.
Is interesting.
Surprising.
I mean, the previous ones have been cross-platform.
Yeah, they've been on Xbox and PlayStation. And I'd like to put it out
there. Fun as hell.
They were.
Too.
Yeah, they were fucking good.
Yeah.
They were RPG beat 'em ups. So like, you beat a level and you beat a bad guys and you get points you could put on your characters and you get new characters.
Yeah.
You could play as fucking Moon Knight. Can you imagine that?
Dude,
you could play as the Avengers level. And X-Men together.
Yeah.
They're fun games. Yeah.
I used to have a roommate who did testing on Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, so we got a free copy, which is awesome. And I'm sitting there playing like, oh my god, this is like, yeah, it's addicting.
Fucking great game.
It's a lot of fun. And not to mention just a great blend of the entire Marvel universe. It's just watching this
entire
trailer,
yeah.
like I just got giddy just realizing like, oh my god, this is like having all, this is just regardless of what studios have licenses, all the characters in a properly mixed up, you know, Marvel
universe. They showed some of the X-Men. I remember the previous one had, you know, like a Ghost Rider in it, and Cyclops, and you could play as a fucking, I mean, I didn't care about Iron Man then,
but it's a lot
I
of
still don't.
Yeah, I mean, it just made me realize, like, as much as we love the MCU and everything, it's like that's a little sad knowing that like this is sort of the Marvel universe sans the mutants and sans all these other parts of the universe.
Not anymore. Like, this looks like it's going to bring it back, and it's only available on the Switch, and we all have Switches, so yay!
It's a great little trailer too, like the where they have that standoff between the Guardians and Children of Thanos.
That was kind of the other cool thing about the Ultimate Alliance is that they actually interwove a good story to those games.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, I can't say anything. It's Ultimate Alliance are one of the best beat 'em ups you could play. I have very fond memories of that one. Anyway,
I guess Nintendo got the sweet end of the deal this time.
Yeah, I wonder how they swung that.
Yeah, I really do wonder how they did that.
All right, Enrique, what else?
Well, they released a second trailer for Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Ooh.
And I'm excited about it. I am super excited about it.
They show you a lot.
They are showing a lot of monster footage, which makes me think that there's going to be a lot more monster motion footage in the thing. What? Oh my freaking god,
dude! Well, like, we finally get to see Mothra, and he's pretty good.
You hear Mothra too, the little like call, like it almost made me like kind of think like, oh my god, they're really going for the camp here.
Like. And the little details that they put in there, like for example, when Rodan is flying over the city, you see a typhoon, like a wind pressure breaking, that is something that they did in the original one too. Yeah. Whenever Rodan flew over, it destroyed everything because he was that big and massive and that fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, oh.
That actually makes sense. Rodan, is that the three-headed one?
That's the pterodactyl one.
Oh, the pterodactyl one.
Yes.
The one that looks like a little...
He looked like a firebird, basically, in here. And which I like the little detail. Like, they put a little bit of fire on him, which his origins... In Rodan's origins also, he came from a volcano and died by a volcano also. So
Who's the three-headed one?
Ghidorah. Ghidorah, yeah. He is in the Godzilla mythos. He's the natural enemy to Godzilla. Like they always go back to him constantly, which... Yeah, obviously, yeah. He's going to be one of the big baddies.
I can't remember.
I don't know if Rodan, per se, is going to be bad.
I thought he was traditionally an ally.
He's traditionally an ally, and as well as Mothra. Yeah. Although Mothra fought with Godzilla before.
Yeah, but he's always been...
Yeah, but I think in this context, he will be an ally, but it's speculation. They don't actually show any shots of...
No.
Of
engagements.
Yeah, of engagements, except for King Ghidorah and Godzilla.
Well, you know what we got to let him do.
Do we remember?
I was about to say, like, as long as they have Ken Watanabe come back, I'm glad.
I think terrible one where they were trying to. Was this a sequel from the one where it was basically they were trying to stop Godzilla from fucking.
He is not our pets.
No, Godzilla was trying to stop the monsters from fucking.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring back. Like, that's why I'm glad of all the human characters, because it seems like the only human character that they've carried over is Ken Watanabe.
Let them fight.
And they get stabbed. Yeah. Which is fun, because it's like, I'm glad.
He has to utter that line. If he does not utter that line, I'll be very upset.
Let them fight again.
What, do the same copy as the first
one? Yes, please. No.
Because a variation of it. I can see a variation of
it. It's so hard to look back on that movie, because you're like, Jesus Christ, it had a great opening act. Right. Bryan Cranston was in that movie. And then you're like, all you remember is like the end part were like.
Bryan Cranston, I think, was horribly underused in that movie.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you know, and this movie's chock full of new stars too, like Vera Farmiga, Millie Bobby Brown, and I'll say
it doesn't matter about the stars. I don't care about them. I care about the damn monster fight.
It goes to show you
monsters.
Well, my point is that it goes to show you that the power of this franchise is that even with all the star power, nobody's talking about it.
Yeah,
and they're all saying fucking King Ghidorah and Mothra, and like, you know, that's what matters with Godzilla movies.
I understand what his approach was with the first one. He wanted to do like a Jaws thing, in which I personally don't think that worked.
I think there are moments in it that kind of worked, but otherwise it
was too much. It was like, they kept on hiding him away, which after the criticism, everyone has criticized that they needed more Godzilla. They wanted more of him.
Yeah.
And this, at least I really hope the trailer showed
it. We've gotten more Godzilla in the trailer than we did in that entire film.
So this promises that it's going to be a lot of Godzilla. A lot of the monsters in general, which it's going to be very hard for them to not show the monsters. So,
hopefully.
I'm just curious, how the fuck is he supposed to fight King Kong in the next movie?
You have to watch it.
Because he's literally going to fight all the other monsters, and then we got to go watch him fight one little monster.
Mm-hmm. But it's King Kong. He's got opposable thumbs.
You didn't see that detail, though. There's actually, they said that King Kong is actually young. He's actually a kid in there.
He's
adolescent.
He's going to get bigger.
He's going to get bigger.
I caught that. They said that very specifically in the movie.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. And you saw the skull, right?
Oh, also, like.
You're talking about Skull Island?
Dude, Skull Island.
You saw the skull of another one of his family members.
Also,
if I'm not mistaken. I really dug Skull Island, too.
Skull Island is set in the 70s, so it makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense that he will get bigger.
Godzilla is clearly in the modern day or near future.
King Kong will get bigger.
It wasn't really just saying anything about his size. I'm just like, here's Godzilla fight 18 other cool monsters, and then we got to go back to.
He's just fighting King Kong.
I think if anything, that's one of the issues I had with Skull Island is that Kong is just too damn big. But Really? I realized part of it is also because they're trying to scale him up for the potential of having him fight Godzilla. Because they had to do that in the past, too, when they had him cross over the first time. They just suddenly scaled up King Kong.
And they had no explanation in that one.
Yeah, Kong is supposed to be like big, 25 feet tall.
They didn't need, what was it, 1950-something or 1961? They didn't need one. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Yeah. We got to move on. Because we're already at the end of the show and we're behind schedule.
Yeah, per usual.
We're always behind schedule.
No, we're not. We're usually running like fucking German oiled. German oiled?
Wow.
It was like a fine oiled German something machine.
Engine?
Train?
They have bullet trains, right? Yeah,
they're known for the trains being on time, right?
Something like that.
Yeah,
that's Japan, really.
Okay. Japanese, German.
Anyways, moving on. So we got the final episode of this season, besides the holiday episode of Doctor Who. And we also.
Was it any good?
I liked it. I thought it was one of the better episodes this season, but...
Okay. I'm like 4 or 5 episodes behind, so...
So they've wrapped up the season before the... Because we're getting the New Year special.
Yeah, there's still the New Year special.
But the season before has been wrapped up completely.
Yes. Okay. Which now means we're not getting any more Doctor Who until 2020, guys.
Fucking fuckity fucks.
Mm. Well, but I mean, they've been taking their goddamn sweet time with it anyways.
You're getting one special.
It would be okay if they didn't already make us wait 1 year already.
So here's a way to kill kill the new Doctor so quick is like skip a year. Like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, we're going to get you here. Here's a new Doctor. We're massaging her shoulders, getting used to her. All right, now fucking get out.
Well,
you mean do a time jump?
It's like there's weird.
Like,
no,
no
Doctor
Who
in 2019.
Yeah,
yeah. Save this one episode.
But as I understand, with a lot like, and as is the case with a lot of British programming, like it's not necessarily always strictly annual. Sometimes,
no. Not,
you know.
I don't know. Doctor Who
not
has been
for Doctor Who.
They've
except
been pretty
the
annual.
Year
they've
before
been
last.
Very
they skipped a year.
Consistent, although near the end of Moffat's reign, I think we had some. Long break.
What's his name?
They had this before. I mean, I know there was a moment in the Tenet years in which there was a long break. Also,
I think I'm pretty sure Capaldi had a year off almost.
Yeah,
that was our big gap, which is literally I think almost a year.
Yeah.
But so they had gaps.
There's been gaps. Yeah. Less gaps than in Moffat's Sherlock, but
maybe that's why they didn't do Christmas. Let's push off to New Year so we can have an excuse that there's
another week.
It was stories. But we also found out that Jodie Whittaker is going to stay as the 13th Doctor because there's been scuttlebutt of her not doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
on one season. Her and the showrunner.
She wanted to stick with the showrunner because she worked with him on Broadchurch.
Oh, that's right.
And I don't know if he's confirmed back or not.
It's nothing I've seen.
But she also had a kid recently, or not recently, but within the last few years, so she kind of wants to, you know, take care of
the
kids and stuff.
That's
understandable. It was kind
of
like,
she was
well,
pull off on another show too, but if she's got a baby. You know.
Yeah, so it was like, well, if he's not going to come back, maybe I won't come back, but she's confirmed to come back, which I think is awesome. I really like her as a doctor.
They filmed for like 10 months, 10 or 11 months out of the year, straight.
That's a long... Well, for a show, I guess that makes sense.
So for an entire season, I believe that's what Capaldi was saying. Like it's bam, bam, bam,
very
bam.
Long,
especially when
you're
the lead, you have to be there for the whole time. So
well, that's one of the reasons they give like every season. There's an episode where it's like Dr. Light.
Right.
Where it's like the biggest example is Blink. But there's always an episode, at least one episode in the season where there's like...
Give the
doctor.
Starter break.
Yeah, so because it's giving the starter break, basically.
It's why Kryptonite exists. They created it in the Superman radio drama so they could give Bud Collier a break and just have Superman be written out of a few episodes.
However you want to slice it, I think it's bullshit, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's a couple episodes behind. I want to like this doctor. I don't like her yet. How do I rephrase that? I'm not into her, but that doesn't mean I'm not gonna watch her, but I feel like more episodes, you're probably going to end up liking her, right? That's how it goes.
Especially on the forefront of a new doctor, it's a little strange.
It's like
now,
you get 12 episodes. Was it 12 episodes? 10?
10
episodes maybe. Yeah, we're gonna take a year off. It's so like jarring to me.
Maybe it all
is.
The writers had writer's block.
I don't give a
shit.
Maybe
they're working
that,
something out.
But I do believe that they're trying to write their own doctor, and I think that's why a lot of people are having a hard time with it.
Because they haven't done that yet.
It's because they don't know who their doctor is yet.
That is my biggest complaint right now.
And for me, I feel like they're understanding her by the final episode of the season. They're understanding what they want her to be. But there's
that's a tough sell.
There's some really I don't know. Good sci-fi? I liked the last
well,
two episodes.
I really loved the Rosa Park episode. So, I mean, there's still good sci-fi in Doctor Who.
Also, you guys are saying there's a new potentially new showrunner?
Possibly. We don't know.
Maybe that's a big reason.
We don't know.
If the person up top is changing, maybe that's a lot of the reason why there's delays. So
it could be. I feel that for the most part, this season has suffered from them not knowing who their doctor is, where Moffat knew who his doctor was.
Yeah.
So it was very easy for him.
Doctors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even at the end of the first episode, Capaldi, you knew his who the doctor kind of was. That grumpy kind of... sometimes gentle, always angry.
Sure. Yeah.
But I've liked parts of this season where they've forced.
That's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
About Capaldi is he gets eyebrows. I don't know.
I like how they forced the doctor kind of into inaction on like in the Rosa Parks episode, and they did it in another one, with the doctor having to let things happen and not being able to necessarily save the day. I think that's an interesting concept for the doctor. But that's all the new news.
Well, maybe they'll be better for it. The episodes.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Can't get worse.
This is jarring. This is jarring, yeah, because you got 1 year that was a whole break from Doctor Who, and then we got it back, and then another year whole break. It's
especially
like,
right after all the positive reception of Whittaker. I mean, I'm hearing a lot of good things about her, so it just seems like we'll go full steam ahead, but... Yeah,
she's an enjoyable actress. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Cool.
All right, let's
she's
move on.
Around, so.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Let's move on real quick. And these are from a couple weeks ago, but I thought it was still important to say. But we're getting a Blue Beetle movie, Jamie Reyes version, too. So
Jamie Reyes, nice.
As someone who is brown, I'm fucking happy about this.
Yeah.
And I actually really like the Jamie Reyes version,
yeah.
Who's like this little Hispanic kid from El Paso.
It's actually kind of the one I'm more familiar with, so I'm kind of
yeah, I think he's a little more interesting than Ted Kord,
yeah.
Personally, who gets an alien beetle attached to his back and gives him basically Iron Man powers, but the beetle's sentient. So, and the beetle turns out to be evil, too.
Ooh.
Sure. But this is
so
like
evil. I mean, I guess no. I guess that's one way to look at it. Basically, it's like a Venom with a Iron Man. He's part of like this intergalactic horde that of other aliens.
Even the Lanterns clash against them.
No one likes the beetles, so to speak.
Except for this one beetle.
Well, this something happened where like when it crashed and attached himself to Jamie Jaime.
Yeah.
We'll find out in the movie.
They usually say Jaime in like
In the cartoon.
In the
you're right.
Yeah.
But this is Jamie. Anyway.
Well, I mean, obviously you can pronounce it both ways.
Right. Yeah. This one is kind of fucked up because it doesn't always...
it doesn't stick with the hive mind?
Well, he's able to control it a little bit. Oh. So, like, it always wants to kill people. It's kind of like a little bloodthirsty. Like, I'm going to kill it now. He's like, no, Sue,
okay,
you can't
so
kill.
It's me in Red Dead Redemption 2 in the online mode. I get it.
I don't know.
But even more than, like, an Iron Man suit, it really, like, infuses into, like, because doesn't it, like, even, like, give him a whole different digestive tract, too? Like, it's like,
I mean, it
fuses
it,
into him
it,
biologically.
It gives him what he needs when he needs it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, if he needs wings, it'll get wings and guns.
I'll give him wings.
If he can't breathe underwater, it'll give him, like, you know, beetle lungs or something. I don't know.
Sure.
That kind of help.
Yeah.
Interesting thing. I just, you know, there's no writer, or maybe there is a writer, I don't know. I don't remember anymore. I read the article like 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. But I just thought it was good because, you know, more diversity, right?
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Well, that's one thing that certainly makes
and
it more interesting.
It's a concept that's never been touched on, like a superhero power that is an organic suit, you know? So, I don't know. I like the idea.
I like the character.
Yeah.
I really do. So, I remember when I heard about him the first time, I was like, but then you read about him, like, oh, this is actually kind of, they made him interesting. They made him an interesting character.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's fun to play.
And certainly, we need more diversity in our superheroes, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shall I take that to the next story? On the other...
take it to the next level.
On the other front, because, you know, obviously, Blue Beetle, by the way, is a DC character, if you don't know.
Yes.
But in Marvel's front, Marvel Studios is apparently fast-tracking Shang-Chi to be for a movie tentpole. They're... Rightfully, apparently, Chinese American scribe Dave Callahan is going to be writing the screenplay, and according to Deadline, at least Marvel is looking for a number of Asian, a number of Asian and Asian American directors to direct. So, at the very least, they're you know obviously as an Asian tentpole superhero, they're looking for.
I can't wait
right
for
people behind
what's his name
Shang-Chi.
Yeah, my favorite issue of.
Shang-Chi?
I'm sorry. Do you not know Shang-Chi? Okay, so I'm playing it up more, but I think I have literally, out of my comic collection, I have maybe three issues where motherfucker, like, guest starring Shang-Chi.
Yeah, well, it's interesting,
he's
though.
Not,
like,
he's not a well-known character.
He's not very well-known, and I'm really hoping, and especially, especially with actually having people of color, particularly Asians, behind the helm of the screenplay, I really hope, I have my fingers crossed that they adapt a lot of what comes off as really dated with the character too, because as much as like, as
you're familiar with this character beyond like what you read in the article.
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah, like he's. I mean, for one thing, I really hope they ditch his father. He's the son of Fu Manchu. Literally the son of Fu Manchu, which is...
Well, that's not terrible. Why?
No, character has a long history of being used to spread racial stereotypes about Chinese people.
I mean, that's the way we... I mean, don't we actually use that as the verbal stereotype, typical word? Oh, yeah, he's Fu Manchu.
Sure. Well, and at the same time, like, you know, this character, Shang-Chi, as much as it came out of an effort in Marvel in the 70s to diversify,
yes,
and rightfully so.
And cash,
you know,
in.
It still comes from a 70s era of how Asian Americans were looked at. Like, at the time, Marvel was actually trying to acquire the rights to Kung Fu so they could just straight up use David Carradine's character. When they didn't get the rights to that, they got the rights to adapt Fu Manchu, the pulp novel character, and they wrote Shang-Chi as the you know, unknown son of Fu Manchu who rebels against his father and everything. So I mean, this is still,
I feel like they cash in on that.
They could, but at the same time, you know, this is still like, you know, I mean, I see a lot of the reason why people would have issue with them adapting Shang-Chi, but I hope that
the character is it's an exploit. It was it was created in the time of the 70s when, you know, Bruce Lee was like, you know, made kung fu flicks popular. I'm pretty sure it came
they literally drew him to look like Bruce Lee.
So at that point, like, it's this character's like, hey, these are popular, give me a character like this.
Yeah.
Thankfully the character has endured, because I can't think of any other Asian characters that are
even particularly with Marvel, the Marvel universe has been pretty devoid of Asian characters.
I mean,
Asian
they tried to make what's his name, the Hulk. That's about it.
Yeah, there was
the totally awesome Hulk.
But at the same time, I think, like, look, I see the argument because a lot of people had the same debate over Marvel Netflix adaptation of
Iron Fist,
and a lot of people were saying Iron Fist is the prime character, especially in the Marvel pantheon of white characters, because look.
Oh, to Asianize?
Yeah, I also want to compare this a little bit to DC's track record. As much as people see, like, Marvel's always been knocking it out of the park, they're so far ahead with DC. At the very least, DC is making a lot more motions toward diversity.
Oh, Aquaman.
Aquaman. Like nobody batted an eye when the DC was like, look. Fucking straight up, Deadshot is black now, and because
they gave you Will Smith, and he's so goddamn charming. You know what I mean? Like, so Will Smith. Yeah. All right, well, let me see what he can do.
Yeah,
he's bought himself a lot of credit.
And same thing to, like, you know, and look, there are a lot of people, and look, I know some friends of mine too who had some problems seeing Aquaman get that change too, because they had such a vision of Arthur Curry as the blonde haired white faced guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, look, I think they realized the star power that they had in Jason Momoa. I think they realized that there are people who are like when you were being faithful to all of these pantheon of characters that come from an era where representation really doesn't compare to the population of our country, of our world. You need to make some changes to characters like that, and I see DC doing a lot more bolder changes like that, like changing Aquaman, changing Deadshot, you know, and whereas Marvel Studios, as much as they've been knocking out of the park and in so many ways are so far ahead of what they've been doing in DC, Endgame comes out, 22 movies in, they will still only have one movie where the lead actor isn't white. They will still only have one movie where the lead actor is female.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, it's whereas 20 movies with white leads.
Yeah.
So it's just the Marvel needs to be making more leaps with this. I can see why a lot of people feel like, you know, Shang-Chi might not be the right.
No, I think he's
right.
I don't think he's a good
right
character
first. But
personally,
at the same time, I hope that I think it's Dave Callahan who's writing. I hope he and whoever else is involved with writing it really make the appropriate changes to modernize the character. Because
does he even have powers, or just no martial arts?
He's a master of kung fu.
See, this is one of those things. I'm like, I think this would have been the best time for Disney to be like, Danny Rand's Asian.
Yeah, or even in the case of like I mean, because I understand there's a lot of qualms of like, do you really need to have like the Asian representation be somebody who's not
martial
only American,
arts, yeah.
not American and a total martial art kung fu master?
That is bullshit. Like, sure. Can't they have him be like, he's got energy powers and can turn his feet invisible?
But
I don't
think there's appropriate ways
something
to really,
good.
Well, especially because Shang-Chi
horrible.
Is not.
I know, that's a horrible power. Like, there's no. That's like healing punch. It's probably the worst mutant power you could have.
But
I get
way,
what
like,
you're saying.
Yeah.
It's really important, and I wish that this, maybe not this character, the super martial arts character.
Well, but I could also see them really. I don't think any Shang-Chi fans are going to be too bothered if they fully revamp the character. He doesn't have to be this kung fu master, but just somebody who is like a good hand-to-hand combatant.
Again,
you know?
Shang-Chi is like C D E F G H I J K. K list fucking
no Marvel heroes.
Yeah, like he's not even nowhere in like the first. He's not A, B, or C. He's low, dude.
I feel you.
Anyway,
and at the same time, you know, there's something to be said, especially in this day and age, especially with a lot of the discussion that came out of like the success of movies like, you know, Crazy Rich Asians and Searching, is that like there is a distinction to be made about, you know, that between Asian people and Asian American people and how much of a very different kind of population that is in terms of representation.
I've got an idea what they should do.
What's that?
I think they should make an entirely different character Asian.
Yeah. I mean, exactly like DC's been doing. Oh. Really? Well, yeah, I guess I could see that. All right. Well, I guess.
What are you talking about, Brian?
Because the word is that DC is moving forward on Plastic Man for a movie. This is still kind of early talk because I think they've only just hired.
Now, I grew up with Plastic Man as a cartoon.
I did too,
and it was pretty funny.
A Plastic Man.
To be honest, I didn't know he was from comics because I saw
he's a cartoon.
Him.
Really?
Yeah, I saw him as a cartoon.
Okay. Plastic Man.
Oh, but I'm Plastic Man. He's so great. Like, especially in
he's
Justice
funny,
League.
He's funny,
like,
dude.
He's great.
You tell me you don't see like you could totally put an Asian American actor in as Plastic Man.
You could.
No one bats an eye.
Yeah.
No one.
Yeah. Well, especially considering that's another thing that like you don't see a lot of comedic Asian roles, and Plastic Man is.
Funny
he's a
fun.
Very funny character. I think I would be very surprised if they don't go for the comedic angle.
A little bit of a dirt bag.
Yeah.
I like Plastic. He's funny in the comic books.
So, I mean, nothing's truly official, but this is coming from the Hollywood Reporter that that they've at least hired Amanda Idoko. She's, I guess, an up-and-coming
There you go.
She's, oh, yeah, but she's not Asian, though.
What's her name again?
Idoko. I was curious about her because I thought it was an Asian name. I looked her up. She's a black lady. Actually,
Idoko. Okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
So are you sure?
Yes.
Doesn't mean she can't be Asian.
Yeah, sure. Brian.
That's
now who's
no,
calling the
means,
other kettle
no,
a different color?
Corrected. That's true. Racially, that's what
racially.
I mean. She's not
Plastic Man. I don't know. I think the DC Universe having their comedic movie. I definitely think this could be. That's a good idea. We should write to the DC and be like, hey, I don't know if John Cho is busy, but.
Have him do this role.
Have him do Plastic Man.
I mean, I don't think anybody's really that attached to
his DMs on Instagram.
He doesn't have to be Patrick O'Brien, you know.
Yeah,
they could just as easily, or he could be Patrick O'Brien. They're Asian, Irish
people. None of this matters. He could totally be Asian. Doesn't matter the name.
Yeah, which is a lot of like, you know, as much as like because Marvel, the MCU has been keeping things in terms of racially. I don't think they've changed the race of any characters in the MCU movies so far. From the comics, at least. Whereas DC clearly, you know, even if they're not putting out as good movies, they're at least not as consistently good. They're at least making the step to diversify these pantheon of characters that come from an era where, frankly, everybody was fucking white.
Hey, man, Aquaman's getting like the kind of movie buzz that you want.
Yeah,
it's totally a part. They're like, it is like the popcorn movie you want to go see. Which that's what I want to hear from a superhero movie.
But still, at least when it comes to like Blue Beetle, for example, I'm really psyched that not only is he is he Hispanic? He's a Mexican American.
Yeah.
And he's just he's going to be treated as an American character just if they do it right. I mean, because Jaime Reyes, he's an American guy who's of Mexican descent.
Yes. So he says things like Dia and Adios Mio and stuff like that. But he's very much like American. I identify with this character. I like this character.
Yeah. And someday I hope, more than just Shang-Chi, I hope to see the same thing done with Marvel too.
So. Yeah. Like, it'd be really sucky if, like, Jamie's powers are just like, I don't know, you shake maracas or something stupid like that, right?
Yeah, that would be
terrible.
Like, I can do the best Mexican fuck with hat. I can hat dance better than anyone. Like, that'd be kind of offensive at that point. Yeah. So I understand, like, you don't want Shang-Chi to just be like the martial arts guy. That's such a pigeonhole.
And that's just, it's just part of the steps that society.
We'll get there.
Our society needs to
we'll
take.
Get there.
Especially
with
Asians.
We should just start writing DC movies for him, Brian, you and I. All right, let's move on. We're going to end this last part.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had more to say.
Podcasts on a podcast.
Yes. So Ron Burgundy and Mr. Anchorman is coming back as a podcast on iHeartRadio.
Podcast. I believe that means whale vagina in Spanish.
No, it actually.
No, I didn't think that's.
No.
Okay. yeah. I know what
you're saying.
Yeah. It's a 12-episode podcast on iHeartRadio. As far as I know, there's one season so far.
Oh, shit, I didn't read that part.
More.
I am so...
I like how they revealed
iHeartRadio.
Well, I really like how they revealed it, essentially, because it was a Twitter account. What was his name?
It was that
CNN guy, Don Lemon. Like, So apparently, like, from... Because what's the name of the podcast? It's like the Burgundy...
Ron Burgundy podcast?
No, there's some other name for it. But there was a Twitter account, a blue check marked Twitter account, like the Burgundy podcast or something, whatever it's called, that had tweeted Don Lemon asking him for help to help make a podcast. And Don Lemon had shut him down. Don Lemon is a CNN anchor, by the way.
I know Don Lemon is.
Okay, well, I had to look him up.
No, it's the Ron Burgundy podcast.
Okay, all right. But that's how, like, people were like, what the hell is this account? And then that's when they confirmed, oh yeah, they are making the podcast series with
how fun. I love Ron Burgundy. I don't know, like, what am I talking about? A new podcast of Ron Burgundy flavor sounds great.
Well, what I think is also kind of interesting, because when I read it, I just imagined that it would be, because he's an anchor man, that he'd be like commentating on the news and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But they're saying that it's actually going to be like a scripted drama.
Like,
as opposed to like
Homecoming.
A new show, which seemed a little strange to me, but I thought, like, it also would seem strange if it was like Ron Burgundy commenting about modern news, because he's like a character from the 70s, and now he would be like.
Admittedly, I guess I didn't really think too hard of it. I just thought it'd be a comedy.
Yeah. Well, plus, Anchorman is a commentary on society at the time.
Sure.
You know, and even to an extent today. About how his chauvinism and how his backwards thinking and
Yeah, but he learned his lesson.
Did
he? In Anchorman 2, that was the whole point.
But there's a source of that
comedy.
Did you
see the second one?
I don't think so.
But I could see that as a source of comedy if they still keep him set in the 70s, still keep him in that backwards kind of bigoted mindset.
Well, I don't know if it keeps working. Like, it was funny then, and it was kind of funny in the sequel, but, like, very quickly in the sequel.
To be fair, I didn't see the sequel. So,
so that was a thing he had addressed. He couldn't do shit like that.
Oh.
So.
Well, they could just be like, second one's not canon.
The second one wasn't bad.
I'm
shocked that you guys haven't seen it, to be honest with you.
But I don't see
the podcast.
You guys
like the first one, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. First one.
Sure,
right.
But I don't see how this podcast has to be restricted by whatever they did plot-wise in the second one. They'll just be like, fuck it.
Well, I mean, it's
Ron Burgundy doing
you focus on the second one, but it's the story in general of Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
So I guess what you're saying is that they ignore the canon? Is that...
Isn't that what you're saying? That, like, Ron Burgundy, like, I guess he grew out of that
second
one?
That's what I mean... At one point, he goes blind, and I think he has a kid, and he's so stupid. It's funny, stupid. I don't know. If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's pretty good. It's not great, but it's pretty good. It doesn't suck, as it was called.
It's not shit.
It's not shit. That was a...
That's the official Geek Pop stance.
That's a... Fuck, I hope that's not the new one. that's not the new one for 2019. We were back. I mean, we were gone, but we're back now. We should be running smooth now. Guys, we're all fine.
How are you?
Well, this is a boring conversation anyway. I'm Big Chris.
He's Seth.
Right.
Enrique.
And your geek has just been popped.